John's Gospel, chapter 9, starting with verse 1. I like the idea when Jesus preached to the multitudes, sometimes there was 3,000, 2,000, 5,000, but I like it when he's one-on-one, when he deals with one person with one sign and one miracle, one lesson. And when you read the Bible, you got to pull out who's talking. Sometimes there's two or three, four or five people in this conversation, and we don't know any of them. We didn't see them. You know, if I can recognize a person's face, I recognize their name, and first thing you know, but we have never seen any of these people, and we just go by names, and he said, she said, and you know what? When you get an accident and four or five people are watching on the side, how many opinions do you get? You get five. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God is sanctified and cleansed where we get one thought, one mind, one truth. And when somebody else is speaking in Jesus' conversation with them, or an outside person speaks, you gotta pause for a moment and say, what did they ask or why did they ask it? You almost be like almost like a lawyer. You gotta break it down. If you just read it over like you're reading Tom, Dick, and Harry and Jane jumped over the moon, I mean we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Holy Scriptures. So you gotta find out who said it, what direction was it coming from, for God's purpose or for the devil's, or who's injecting these thoughts. And you need to read it slowly. If anything, you got to do is read it over again, and don't be afraid. You know, we were taught early on, don't write in your Bibles. Anybody remember that? Hello? I want to see some hands. There you go. You're not asleep on me. No more in your name. I had to put the family tree in the first part of it, and that weighed 8-pound Bibles, you know, and all you had was people you didn't even know. They died. They're gone. So I want to talk about the Word of God, the living Word. So today in John's Gospel, in chapter 9, we're going to start there. This is not a lengthy concept, but it involves a lot of personalities. Jesus is healing a blind man. Now, you all know the story pretty well. It was on the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do anything like this, healing or anything that would involve working or cooking. There's a lot of laws, legal laws in the Hebrew faith about that. But it says here, in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. You don't pass by somebody and say, oh, he's been blind from his birth. No, you got to find that out. All right? There's a lot of things we just assume. How did we know that he was blind from his birth? Jesus said it. I wouldn't have known it, but Jesus knew it. And he said, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, why did this man or his parents that were born blind, why did this happen? Jesus answered and said, neither hath his name man sinned, nor his parents, but that he was the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night that cometh when no man can work. Now I want to catch this right here, for Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Wow. Jesus declared who he was, his identity, his concept of lordship, power, demonstration, the assignment, as long as I'm here. We got to realize these are true stories. Now we got the disciples involved asking a question, and they're saying, who was responsible? Did he sin or his parents sin? And he said, neither. This is done for a sign that I'm going to bring to show who I am in Christ and God. I'm going to show the miracle works of God right now in this man. Now, if you don't break this down, you'll slide that over somehow that, you know, just, well, he was blind. No, he was blind for, this man carried a heavy cross from his birth. He was blind. Jesus didn't find somebody say, I got a stone, I got something in my eye, can you heal it? No, this man was, it tells us, it never happened before. Blind from birth, the master called upon him and said, behold, receive thy sight. And he was healed. I don't think that wouldn't cause a stir. But it was Sabbath. It was Shabbat. It was a day that nothing allowed, we weren't allowed to do anything, basically. You can only walk so far. There's a wire in the communities. You can't go outside of that line of that wire where you have to get back to synagogue. You have to be home. You can't cook. You can't do this. You even in the modern times today, you go to a hotel. You can't use electric elevators because it's just a law. There are so many things that we don't realize what the hundreds of laws there is in the Jewish religion. But you know, they don't mean nothing. The thing was, Jesus healed the man. Now, once he realized he got his sight, the disciples began to get inquiring. Down here in verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, the blind man, go unto the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, intercept, sent. He went and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, which had before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Now they're declaring whether this man is really, he's got his sight back. Now they're saying, is this the same blind guy? He ain't been sitting begging. That's him. No, it was somebody else. No, that's him. Do you realize the part of this? He was a witness in that community. They saw him sitting begging. And when he got up and had his sight from the pool and he's seeing, and they said, this is him. No, it can't be. He's been blind since he was born. Do you know how unbelief creeps in? And then when God sent something your way, first thing you know, somebody comes along and said, that never happened. Where would you hear that before? You just think that happened. You know, no, God gives you a miracle. You got to proclaim it. You got to declare it. You got to decree it. You got to stand up and say, look what the Lord has done. Shout it out. I mean, go far and wide. They went crazy. People were, I mean, it was when Jesus was performing miracles, they went nuts. Raising the dead, are you kidding? In our times today, because medicine can do so much, and hospitals and doctors, and they have so much science and technology and advanced knowledge, we're kind of, that's technology. That's how we're living in this age. We can do wonders with cucumbers. But it's a miracle. It changed this man's life. He spat on the ground, made a little portion of mud in his finger and stirred it up, anointed his fingers, and now go wash in the pool. If somebody wanted to do that to you today, you'd say, when you're obedient, you can hear from God. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. That's how you should talk in the Bible. If the Lord says to do it, do it. They're not going to debate it. Well, I don't know if I can do that. People think I'm foolish. I'm not going to. No, do it. If it's a prayer meeting, if it's going fast for 3 days, stay at home and fast, do it. Well, why do you want me to do that? Why don't you get somebody else? You know, I'm so busy. We all got excuses, but they're no good. These excuses don't work. Only for us to get by doing something God wants us to do. He said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, the man said now, I am he. Therefore said they unto them, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, get this, made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. He was obedient. Now get the importance of this. So far, it's just the people are asking him things. The disciples are standing there, and they're saying, wow, they can't even talk. And then first thing you know, Jesus is giving him instructions. He goes, the blind man from sight said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Who was it? You want somebody spitting in your eyes. Made this little mud and put it in his eyes. He come back, now he's got his sight. First time in his life. First time in his life he's seeing. You thought he was quiet? He was jumping up and down like a kangaroo. I mean, this guy, he was over the top. He was over the top. In verse 11, Andrew said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam. Wash. I went and washed and received sight. They said unto him, where is he? With a question mark. Now, they're asking, where is Jesus? He said, I don't know. I don't know. They had an idea that we got to find out more about this guy. Now, this is what creates the problem. You have a miracle in your life. You have a creative miracle. You have a performing miracle at the church. You go somewhere where you work or somewhere else. They say, well, I don't believe that. I never did believe something. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. No, I don't care what they say. I don't believe in it. Doesn't make any difference. He's seeing. So now the word gets out on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath, and now part two here goes into the next part is when the Pharisees hear about the healed man being healed. In verse 13, they brought me to the Pharisees. Him that aforetime was blind, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how do you receive his sight? He said unto them, he put clay in my eyes, I washed, and do see. Therefore, said one of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath, the Sabbath day. Oh, my. Oh, my. Legalism gets in. Doubt and unbelief. You go to religious leaders, and what they said? It can't be. No, it can't be because he violated the Sabbath. It can't be of God. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people have done the work of God and got a lot of criticism for it, on one thing or another. The devil's a liar. He doesn't want nothing like that to ever get out. He'll lie on you. He'll lie about your family. He'll lie about those around you. Be prepared for that when something good happens to you. The devil's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. John 10:10, he's come to rob, destroy, and kill. He will kill you. But we bind those things, and it can't happen. When we say, this isn't going to happen, it's not going to happen. Resist the devil, and he'll what? Flee. That means leave you. Flee. And that's on the run. That's not just walking away. That's on, he runs. Because the greater one is in you. The greater power is in you. And we don't use it. We don't allow it to become part of our daily life. In verse 16, therefore, some of the Pharisees, now get, these are the religious leaders, this man's not of God. Others said, how can a man that what? Is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them. They said unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said he's a prophet. Oh boy. You got to use that word very lightly. In modern times, we have too many prophets that are self-appointed. Don't believe everyone you see on television said they're a prophet. Every scam that you can think of has been used in all cultures, every group of people. There's fakes, there's phonies, the devil's. He has emulated, tried to copy, reproduce everything that God has ever done and got away with a lot of it and caused a lot of people to get discouraged. That's not true. But I'm going to tell you, there are people that are divine appointed prophets. All through the Bible we have them. And you use their examples and you see, well, they did this, they did that, they did this. And you say, well, I believe he's a prophet, but I don't know about that guy I seen on television Wednesday night. He said he's a prophet. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. Here's the witness of the guy that's seeing, but they didn't believe it. Now, when you have the witness, that's different than saying, boy, you should have been there. You should have been there. God is telling us very clearly in the Word of God that we must realize that this man called Jesus is a powerful man, the Son of God. We got to go with a strong purpose. It's so important that we let miracles take place in our life and validate them by carrying on in a gospel way. Some people get healed or saved or delivered or something first they know. 6 months later, they're back doing the same thing again. Whatever they had, it slipped away. They lost it. Salvation and all those things. See, you got to live for the Lord. It's a consecration. It's not just a daily, I remember back in 41 when I knelt at the cross. I'll never forget that night. But you know what? It takes more than that. It's a day-by-day plugging and coming against the enemy, resisting the devil, overcoming, doing the works of God, being a born-again child of God, announcing it to the world that I am saved, I'm delivered, I'm filled by the Holy Ghost, I'm empowered by the Spirit of God. I put words in my heart that are God words, and I'm able to overcome and subdue the devil. But you won't do it on your own. You won't do it on your own. I said, you won't do it on your own. A lot of people try to live off of a Sunday school experience when they were 10 years old. Well, I got baptized when I was 12. You know, for some reason, they copy that. That's the Jewish thing when they get their confirmation and things. Catholic people, they give a confirmation for a child. That's supposed to really be the, if you get got confirmation, that's your seal. You know what I mean? That doesn't save you. Can you say amen? That doesn't save you. Water baptism is important, but it's not going to change you. We're living in a time that unless God's people quickly wake up. These are the end of days. We're not in the beginning of the end of days. We're in the end of days. Signs and wonders. A lot of people have seen them, still don't believe. People have seen miracles happen in their families. They have seen people get saved that they would never dream of. They've seen people get off drugs that were in drugs. So, well, you know, it's just if you get a strong enough will, you can do these things. No, it's more than that. It takes God to deliver you. It takes the Holy Ghost to indwell you and empower you. The Holy Ghost empowers. The Word of God gives you a guideline, empowerment. You know, I was thinking about an old stop sign on our street out here. That thing's been there over 40 years. It only says one thing. It's never changed its mind and it's never changed its position in 40 years. Get to the end of the street, it's still standing there. When they first moved out in that development, they put a brand new stop sign up. I said, man, that's a brand new sign. Here it is 40 years later, and you know what? It's still standing there, and it's never changed its mind. I said, I think I'm going to be like that stop sign about things. I'm not changing my mind. It only has one assignment. It's got one thing, and it does it well. Everybody comes up there, they know, even if you're from a foreign country, you know, stop. Why do we have to be flim-flammy about everything? We had a great meeting. A week later, man, I'll tell you, I don't know whether I believe all that or not. That guy was really whacked out. He only heard the stuff he said. He said, we can walk by faith and not by sight. What? Folks, if you get it down inside of you, you're going to spend the rest of your life running and pursuing after the things of God. You believe in the Holy Spirit. Oh my, when you think about what has happened to you, when before you were converted, before you were filled with the Spirit, before you were a tither, before you were blessed of God, before you had the anointing and your household and your family, you have to realize there is a deliverance that's come into your life. Don't go back to the garbage pail again. Don't go back to the same old place. We were in somewhere in Virginia, I forget what city it was now, holding a revival in this guy's church, and we're riding down the street, and he said, he called him recruit or something like that, one of my people has been saved at the church. And about the time he said that, this guy just made a turn, went right in the bar. Boy, he dropped his head. We can't save anybody. One of my recruits. You know what? It takes Jesus. A surrender, a total surrender, and then a total commitment. If you're not committed, I mean 100%, it takes you 100% day after day. Get into it and stay in it. Get in the Word and stay in the Word. There's enough gospel today. We ought to have just enough to just run out of our ears where we're overflowing with it. One time, Betty went down to the shore with some kids, and they bought me a box of taffies, you know, those saltwater taffies. I never did like them. So they put it in the box there, you know. I said, well, I'll eat one. Betty about pulls your teeth out, you know, just chewing around them. First thing you know, I'm sitting around, I'll open another one. And I said, I don't like them. I ate that one first thing, and about 5 days later, that box was gone. And I didn't even like them. There's a testimony on television about some lady that smoked, and she's climbing this mountain of cigarettes. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. And said she smoked over 12,000 packs of cigarettes in her life. She stand up on top of it saying, I got the victory. Well, I'm going to tell you, we buried more of them with lung cancer and more fast. Sometimes young people, he gets them at a very young age and does something to their life that they can never get over the rest of their life. They go somewhere, they do something they didn't even think. Why was it in the car with these people that when it turned over, it broke their neck and they're paralyzed for life? When you're living with somebody who has been robbed like that, their whole life's been robbed, I'm going to tell you, it's a sad thing. And that's the reason we need to put the blood over our children constantly. I don't care if they're living away from your house. You pray for them. You say, cover them with the blood. Cover them with the blood. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. On the highways and byways of life, they're covered. This man here, when is what? Now they call him a prophet. Prophet of God. In this chapter, I want to make sure I have enough time to get this done. Let's go to verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be in a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. Since the world began, was it not? It can't be. Born blind, you stay blind. How many people have told you you'll never be saved? Your family has been serving. Go back to your uncles and your aunts. No, God will never visit your house. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, Dost thou teach us and say, cast him out? He said unto him, mine's in red here, is yours? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he? And the Lord, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast sent him and see him. It is he that taketh and talketh with thee. He said, you're talking to him. Jesus said unto him, thou hast seen him, and it is he that taketh and talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to do something. The Holy Spirit guides us. How many times have anybody missed it? I wish I was more sensitive. I could have changed a lot of things. You know, if you kind of got, you're pushing, you're aggressive, you keep moving, this is right, and you don't hear the Lord, or you hear it, you don't hear it. You miss God, you miss the Holy Spirit, and you reap the results. When you know to do something and you don't continue doing it, you get bad results. I know you ladies memorized a lot of your recipes. And after a few years, you might forget whether it was two or three or four or five handfuls. I'm not picking on ladies. Mr. Ed got these rulers. See, I don't measure anything by the little marks, a quarter or a half. Now, a half, I get that pretty good. If I can get within a half inch, I mean, you know, they don't see it from the bridge, so it doesn't make any difference. I mean, but you know what? You can't do that. It won't work. It won't fit. It's not right. We live life not by the accuracy of day at a time and the word of God and what God has said, but, oh, that's good enough. Some people park their cars and they're parked and it's halfway out in the street. Car's not parked. You just abandon it. We do it with our life. No, you're not supposed to stop there and get that big cone. They always say, you want a small or a large? And look at this and say, I'll get a large. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to discipline ourselves for the word of God and the power of God in prayer. People say, I think I pray when I lay down at night in bed. Well, you fall asleep. If you want to sleep good, just tell the Lord you're going to prayer. You're going to prayer right now. You're going to bed. I'm going to be praying, Lord. You'll be asleep for long. The devil puts you to sleep so fast, you won't know what happened. He'll tuck you in like a little baby. I'm going to read that chapter today, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read this chapter today. Now you're sitting in nighttime. Lord, my eyes are getting blurry. I can't see that. I get that tomorrow. No, Jesus got right on this thing with this guy. I mean, he held to it. He held right on to it. I believe. And he worshiped him. 39, Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into the world that they which see me night might see me, and that they would see might be made blind. He's talking about this in his own words. For judgment, I am come into the world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were there with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Listen to this. Jesus is talking now. He said unto them, if you were blind, you should have not sinned. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Wow. Your sin remaineth. Your sin remaineth. The man called Jesus. What a powerful man. What a powerful man. Some of these questions, you know, they followed Moses. They'd seen the miracles recorded in the books out down through the desert. And yet many of them had a hard time believing. They had to get their faith up when it come time to get out of a tent and get into a real building called the temple. When they decide to build the temple, God intervened in such a way that the people that were involved in the old way, just believing for food for today, they got a man involved who was worth billions. He said, out of my treasury, I have enough, I can build this thing. I know the people up in Lebanon, I'll get the cedars of Lebanon cut and sent down here. It's almost an impossibility. They had to float them down along the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. They had to float them. I mean, this was a major job. And he said, no problem. He had the resources to overcome every circumstance. And it was so beautiful. He said it was the most beautiful building. The gold that was shining off the roofs and the building could reflect the sunlight, and they could see it from miles and miles away. You as a child of God should be seen coming. And your reactions of how you're properly dressed and you're properly adorned and you have resources. You're not standing on there with a little tin cup going like this. But we're children of God. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out. This blind man from birth was, I mean, he was blind. And they said, look, when you're blind like that, you never get your sight. It's never happened until Jesus. When you received Jesus as your Savior, your life changed. You begin to see things totally different. You accept Christ as your Savior. You believe that you're going to be born again. You're going to receive him in a heart in your life and say, I'm a child of God now. What's it like when you're without and before and after? Your life's changed. Oh, we got so much to thank God for. We got so much. Do you realize it could be any day now, and it could be any day that we could be our next meal. We've said it 1,000 times, but our next meal may be in heaven. Angels waiting on you, sitting there, table for four. table for me and my family. Glory to God. It's going to be so awesome, folks. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love the Lord and are called for his purpose. Our purpose is to lift up Jesus. Don't criticize it. Don't put him down. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe this. Shut up. You're condemning yourself. This blind man seen was born. But even the religious people said, well, I don't believe that. He's not of God. People say, what makes you so? Why do you say you're saved? Been blood bought, blood washed. I want you to take one chapter like that and just study a chapter. Don't worry about reading the Bible all the way through and say, I've read it through. Let me tell you something. I've read a lot of books too, and I could probably take 2 paragraphs and tell you what I read. But you want to study it. Break it down. This applies to me right in your Bibles. Don't be afraid to mark it up. If that one wears out, Bibles are everywhere. I mean, you can go to the dollar store and get one. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I hope you were on the side of the disciples that day. I hope you were standing with Jesus. When you're born again, you experience salvation, the new birth. Jesus is coming into your life. Your sins are washed away. You're now receiving spiritual sight. Jesus found this man and said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? You have seen him, Jesus said. And he who now talks with you, the man said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. Wow. Have you had your encounter with Jesus yet? Have you had your opportunity to say, Lord, I believe, receive Christ as your Savior? If you're here today and you're just saying, Pastor, I want to join that fellowship of believers, I just want you to lift your hand up. I want to pray with you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we just are able to stand up and say we believe in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you'll get spiritual sight today in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that this day is a day to remember. Believe that we receive whatever God has done for us in our lives. How you spared our lives, how you've been with us every step of the way. Every night, every day, you're overcoming and directing and guiding us. You're our North Star. We follow you and govern ourselves by the direction of your precious light. And we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Everybody have a